To him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our text for today is a portion of our gospel reading from this morning, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, as follows. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Dear fellow redeemed. Math has always been considered one of the hard sciences, that is, compared to comparatively soft sciences like anthropology or psychology, math is generally thought of as a discipline of hard facts, sorts of things that you can prove. 1 + 1 = 2. Most people consider that to be an unbreakable law, a fact that can never change. Now retired ILC professor James Pelzel once pointed out, however, that 1 + 1 does not always equal 2. He said, in fact, there are entire systems of mathematics that can be built on 1 + 1 = 3. All the sums will come out, and all the formulas will work. But it would certainly be a different kind of math than we're used to using. Our text for today is also about a different kind of math, God's math. In the account before us today, 5 + 2 = 5,000. 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, transformed by God's grace, became food enough for a multitude. This text has profound lessons for you and me, lessons not only about our physical but our spiritual needs and how God provides for them. One thing is very clear: when God enters the equation of your life, things don't always add up the way you thought they were going to. That's why our theme for this morning is, God's math is different. Man takes a problem, adds his human reason, and very often ends up with 0. God takes our need, adds his grace, and provides us with a lavish abundance. The feeding of the 5,000, of course, is a very familiar text, and it's a very important one. It's the only miracle of Christ that's recorded in all 4 gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's important for a lot of reasons, but mainly for what it tells us about ourselves and what it tells us about our Savior. As the account opens, Jesus is in need of some time to himself. He and his disciples have just gotten some very bad news. They've just learned about the grisly execution of John the Baptist by wicked King Herod. When Jesus heard that, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He traveled across the Sea of Galilee to a place that was not far from his adopted home of Capernaum, a place that was a sort of grassy wilderness area outside of Bethsaida on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. But as so often happened, there was no rest for Jesus. Usually the place was deserted, but not today. For when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out of the boat, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Jesus spent the day not serving himself and not taking the rest that he so sorely needed, but serving others. As usual, it was ever thus. Jesus once said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." And thus the day passed. But as afternoon turned into evening, a problem arose. At least to the disciples, it seemed like a very big problem. When it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." For the disciples, you see, this equation just didn't add up. A large crowd, no food, late in the day, a long way from town. To them, it equaled an insoluble problem. And this is what happens so often, isn't it? Man takes a problem or a challenge, applies his human reason to it, and comes up with zero. By the way, ever notice how often Jesus' disciples did that? Trying to send needy people away from Jesus, dismissing out of hand those who had come to Jesus and desperately needed his help. They did that a lot. It happened, you may recall, with those women, those mothers who brought their young children to Jesus for a blessing. The disciples rebuked them and tried to send them away. It happened with that Canaanite woman who wanted Jesus to heal her daughter, was possessed with a demon. What did the disciples do? They said, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." And the same thing here. The disciples said to Jesus, "Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Do we do that, I wonder? Send people away from Jesus, consciously or unconsciously? Are there certain people or certain classes of people that we automatically relegate as being unworthy of the gospel? People with whom we don't need to share our faith? Beware. And bear it in mind each day of your life that every single person you meet or see on every day of your life is a person for whom Christ died, is a precious soul who is as much in need of the Savior as you are. Jesus replied, testing his disciples, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." That suggestion made no sense at all to the disciples. They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples had done the math. They'd penciled it out, and for them it just didn't add up. A young boy had come forward and very generously offered his lunch, 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. That's all well and good, the disciples said hopelessly, but what is that among so many? Philip had another idea. We learned from a parallel account that he suggested, well, maybe we could send the disciples into the neighboring villages to purchase food for the crowd. But that wasn't going to fly either. He said to Jesus, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little." And this is exactly what happens when we try to solve our problems ourselves using only our human reason. The disciples said, in effect, "This isn't going to work. Even if we had the money, even if we had the time to go to a village and purchase the food for these people to eat, it still wouldn't work. There wouldn't be enough for a crowd this size. This problem has no solution." A lot of your problems are going to seem exactly like that, problems with no solution. Whether it's a financial need, a sudden illness, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one. If you try to overcome those challenges on your own using your human reason, you're going to come up empty. So often it seems that there simply is no solution to a particular problem that's facing you in your life. But remember, God's math is different. God takes our need, applies to it his grace, and provides us with lavish abundance. After testing the faith of the disciples and finding them wanting, as usual, Jesus calmly takes control of the situation. They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And somewhere between Jesus blessing and the disciples distributing, food that wasn't even enough for a small family became plenty for a huge multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This past week I read a sermon by a pretty well-known Seattle preacher who hewed to the old line of biblical skeptics down through the ages in saying that nothing really supernatural happened that day in the wilderness of Bethsaida. According to him, there's a perfectly natural explanation that when the young boy generously brought out the food that he had brought with him, that prompted all the other people to give up their selfishness and to bring out of hiding the food that they had brought along, but to this point had been too selfish to share. After all, the preacher said, what's more miraculous, creating food or melting selfish and stony hearts? Well, I can answer that question. Creating food is. Calling into being out of thin air enough food to feed over 5,000 people is far more of a miracle than convincing folks not to be selfish. You can convince someone not to be selfish if you're persuasive enough, but if I were to ask you to produce a loaf of bread out of thin air, you might have some trouble with that. Only God can create out of nothing. Only God, says the Apostle Paul, gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The fact is that this passage, just like Jesus turning water into wine, just like Jesus healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and raising the dead and stilling the storm, all of these miracles demonstrate the deity of Christ. He was not just a good man, not just a fine moral teacher and a great example for us to follow. He was much more than that. We don't come here on Sunday mornings to think kindly thoughts about a good person who lived a long time ago. We come here on Sundays to bow ourselves before Jesus Christ, the King and Creator of the universe, the God who is seated even now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ, the Maker of the universe and the King of our souls. Here we worship the one of whom Scripture says, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is true God. This text and many of the other miracle texts clearly demonstrate that. Miracle of the loaves was just that, a miracle performed by God. We also need to talk for just a bit about the measure according to which God satisfies our wants and needs. Once again, God's math is different. Our text simply says, they all ate and were filled. But really, that's sort of an inadequate translation. If you look carefully at the Greek, this passage is very explicit. Everyone had all they could eat. There was no one who was left the least bit hungry. Have you ever finished a terrific meal and gotten up from the table and said, I just couldn't eat another bite? That's what it was like. The needs of those people were completely satisfied. How typical of Jesus. And isn't that the way he always works in our lives? So often we face a difficult challenge and we apply our human logic to it. We calculate to the last decimal exactly how much we need God to give us in order for us to get by. We have the math all worked out, but God's math is different. And what happens? We're overwhelmed. We're expecting just enough, and what we get is a windfall. We're expecting a bare sufficiency, and what the Lord blesses us with is a lavish abundance. Our family had a big windfall not long ago. But in honesty, I can't say that it was all that unusual. It's just the latest in a long series of lavish blessings from God. And I think I could probably walk up and down the aisle in our worship service this morning and get similar examples from every one of you. Why should we be surprised? What were we expecting? When are we going to learn God's math is different? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." God takes our need, adds his grace, and provides us with a lavish abundance. It's true about our physical needs, but it's even more true about our spiritual needs. And they're much greater, aren't they? Because after all, you can get by on a minimum of food. You can survive on substandard clothing and with inadequate shelter. But if you don't have a solution to the problem of sin, you're done for. If you can't escape the judgment to come, then nothing else matters. So God has given us an answer to sin. It's the answer of his grace toward us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We read this account, and of course we focus on the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. But you know, that wasn't the first blessing Jesus bestowed on the crowd that day. It wasn't even the first miracle. We're told that he healed their sick. He dispensed miraculous gifts of healing to those among the crowd who were ill and blind and lame. But there was something even more important than that. The most important thing was the word of salvation that he preached to them that day. For the parallel account in Mark tells us that when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Yes, he taught them many things that day, but I think I know what the main subject was that he taught them. Math. The miraculous math of God. How God provides a solution for sinners like you and me, people with a huge debt of sins and transgressions against the law of God, a debt that none of us could ever hope to repay with good works. That kind of math always comes up with zero, as we're reminded by the Apostle Paul. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But God's math is different. God took our hopeless problem of sin and added grace to the equation. In his undeserved love for us, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By giving his innocent Son Jesus into death on the cross, God made the impossible math come out. Irretrievably lost sinners like you and me are retrieved from eternal death and saved and justified in God's sight. We stand accepted before God by faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Are your sins great? Have no fear. The Bible says, "Where sin abounded, their grace did much more abound." By virtue of your faith in Jesus Christ, you too will one day hear that blessed invitation of your Savior. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Emmy was a fifth grader who lived in the town of Princeton, New Jersey, around the end of the 1930s. And Emmy had a problem. She was really bad at math, and she had terrible difficulty with that subject in school. So she was happy when she found out that a kindly old man had moved in down the street and that he knew a lot about math. So Emmy would stop by his house every day after school. He would help her with her math problems. One day, her mother found out what was going on and was astounded to learn that the kindly old man was none other than renowned physicist Albert Einstein. So she hurried over to the man's house to apologize for her daughter bothering the great physicist. But Einstein cut her off. He said, "She has not been bothering me. When a child finds such joy in learning, then it is my joy to help her learn. Please don't stop Emmy from coming to me with her school problems. She is welcome in this house anytime." My dear fellow Christians, the problems that confront you in life may very often seem to you to have no solution. When added up in the calculus of your own human reason, they may seem to be completely insoluble. But have courage. Remember, God can solve your problems more easily than Einstein could solve fifth grade arithmetic. For God's math is different. Man takes a need, adds his human reason, and comes up with zero. But God takes our needs, physical and spiritual, adds his grace, and provides us with lavish abundance. Let us rejoice in the lavish blessings, both physical and spiritual, that our gracious Lord is bestowing upon us. That is a rejoicing that, God willing, we will carry on into eternity. Amen. Please rise.